Hi, this is Off the Clock, Arts and Culture on KBIA. I'm Janet Saidi. For the first time in memory, the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra has chosen to play a recent MU graduate's work during its concert season next year. The symphony's focus on new music is giving Stephanie Berg a chance to hear her composition come to life in Powell Hall. KBIA's Kate Grumpke tells us about the MU program that made this possible.
Stephanie Berg practices clarinet in a practice room on the MU campus. Berg came to MU to major in clarinet performance, but after taking a few composition classes, she realized what her true calling might be.
Like, it was funny, you know, in the some 12 years I had been playing clarinet at that point, I had had way more success in composition in like 2 years than I had like ever on clarinet.
Berg stayed at MU for graduate school and majored in composition, partially because of a program called the New Music Initiative. The initiative is a program focused on growing new composers through summer composition workshops, scholarships, and festivals.
All of these things that we have in place, we believe, prepare our students and composers in Missouri in general for a professional career in composition.
Stefan Freund is one of Berg's composition professors and is a director of the New Music Initiative. Berg wrote this piece, Ravish and Mayhem, last summer for the New Music Initiative International Composers Festival. The piece is going to be played by the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra this winter. It is rare for composers to have their work played by major professional orchestras, and even more rare for students. Brett Dorhout is the vice president for artistic administration at the symphony, and he says the symphony enjoys featuring new music.
You know, we're not just a museum, so playing music that's hundreds of years old all the time is not necessarily the music that speaks about things that are happening now.
Berg says the exciting thing about having her piece played is that she's being treated as a professional composer.
It's not being handled as like a prize or a, you know, having won something. It's being handled as an actual professional gig. And so, you know, I'm learning like the ins and outs of what exactly that means. You know, like I'm really inexperienced in working with professional orchestras because I've never done it before.
Berg's piece is being played as part of a series contrasting Beethoven pieces with more modern works. Ravish and Mayhem will be played with Nielsen's Violin Concerto and Beethoven's Seventh Symphony.
I think all musicians wear different hats to a certain extent, you know, like I'll have my composer hat and my performer hat and, you know, my teaching hat and my whatever other hats I need to, you know, to make do. But, you know, I'm really hoping that this success will catapult me into other successes as well, hopefully.
The symphony will play Ravish and Mayhem in January. Kate Grumpke, KBIA News.
Fans of ragtime music know who Johnny Maddox is. During his career as a ragtime pianist, Maddox produced 9 gold singles and sold 11 million records. KBIA's Andrew Nichols caught up with Maddox at the Blind Boone Ragtime Festival recently in Columbia. In this audio postcard, Maddox reflects on his time in show business and explains why he's chosen to leave the business.
See, I came along in the Depression years. And I started taking music in 1932 and had 19 years of violin, trombone, pipe organ, and piano. Sound like a cat on the back fence now with a violin. I knew a lot of black old-time piano players, and I would go to their homes and try to copy some of the stuff they did. But finally, it came to a place I had to do my own arrangements. I started recording May the 19th, 1950, and recorded for over 63 years, I guess. I played four seasons. I remember we covered 28 states, 4 Canadian provinces in 18 weeks.
Wow.
I mean, that's traveling at night. You'd finish a show and go to the next place. Guy got the idea of mounting a piano on the back of a pickup truck with a hydraulic lift that put me up in the air. I was up there playing one night, and the motor that put the hydraulic lift up there caught on fire. I never missed a note. I just kept playing away. I thought, if this dad blame thing goes down, I'll just go down with it. But luckily, they got it put out.
Do you think you'll ever miss being in the show business?
No.
No?
No. I'm tired. Everything I own hurts. I'm so glad to be out of that rat race, I call it. I made a lot of people happy in my time, but it was just time for me to quit.
was ragtime pianist Johnny Maddox talking with KBIA's Andrew Nichols about his career in ragtime. And finally, a return to a special series we're running this summer. In My Farm Roots from Harvest Public Media, we hear American stories and memories of rural life.
I'm Amy Mayer, a reporter for Harvest Public Media. Times are good on the farm right now, but that hasn't always been true. Many of today's young farmers grew up in the shadow of the farm crisis of the 1980s and watched as rural areas were ripped apart by debt and foreclosures. Those hard times will always stay with them.
My name is Mark Kenny. We're on our family farm. We've been in Story County, in northeast Story County in Iowa, I'm the fifth generation. I'm one of the fortunate ones to have grown up during the farm crisis of the 80s. That was a tough time in agriculture all over the place. Commodity prices were depressed. Land values kept falling. And it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of reason to be optimistic. And, you know, this is just a generation ago, you know, 20, 25 years ago, we went through this situation. And, you know, for many years, break even, trying to carry on to the next year was kind of the goal. It was hard. It was hard to see difficult times in our communities. It was hard to see that. Looking back on it now, I'm even more thankful for my grandparents, my parents, my uncle, because of the hard work they put in during those times and gave us the opportunity to stay on the farm, for me to have, to make my livelihood from the farm too. So that's why I say I was fortunate, because at the time it didn't feel like it was a whole lot of fun. But they also taught us a lot of lessons. It's emotional for me because farming is so, it's in our blood, and we want to make sure, you know, everyone's successful doing it. And when you see someone who loves to farm and they're not able to do it anymore, it's hard to see. I grew up through that and saw, you know, the farm sales and all that stuff, and saw the stresses of the 80s and understood it, but I'm thankful for it, because I kind of know that, you know, don't forget that those times could come again.
That's Off the Clock this week. I'm Janet Saidi. Have a great weekend.